here. You're obviously not aware of the fact that I spit sometimes, but...
I was told you
what's that? What's your name, anyway?
Chris.
Chris, all right. You're new here?
I've been here since...
I've never met you before, I don't think. Beginning of May, all right. Well, it's good to be back at Western Hills. We love coming to Western Hills. If Joy had her way, we'd move here. But I got a humongous business at home to run, so it's hard to do it from here. Yesterday was 22 months since we got married, which is about 57 million seconds, and it's been wonderful.
Amen.
And any of you who are single, you don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
Marriage is wonderful. Am I a crack preacher? It's absolutely fabulous. How else could it be?
Amen.
God invented it, right? And all right, I'm going to teach on the Good Samaritan today. And turn to Luke chapter 10. And do you guys still stand around here for reading? Verse number 30, Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. I'll read verse 30 if you want to read verse 31, if I find it, that is. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
And on the morrow, when he departed, and took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay thee.
Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?
And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
And he says to us, go and do thou likewise. God, I pray that you'd bless the teaching this morning. I'm well aware of the fact that there's way better teachers in this room than I am. Well aware of the fact, Lord, that I can't possibly do as good a job as you would want me to do, but God, I sure will try. Pray that you'd anoint me with your power. Help me to help somebody today. Help me to help me today. And God, I pray that you bless church. I pray, God, you give safety to those who are traveling today to camp. God, we sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, one of these days I'm going to bring along a bigger pulpit for here. It's so small. Either that or get a smaller Bible, but then I couldn't read it. So, all right. In verse 24 to 30, you find Jesus, well, all the way back, if you turn back a couple of pages in your Bible, if red letter edition, it's all in red, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus teaching, anytime Jesus is teaching, let me say this, Jesus never ever said anything that was unnecessary.
Right.
Jesus never said anything that was not important. And he was teaching, as he always was. And in verse 24, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Anytime a lawyer stands up, you're in trouble anyway. But here's a smart aleck lawyer thinking he's going to question Jesus. And he's very, very self-righteous. By the way, self-righteous people are very hard to help.
Right.
You ever met across somebody like that? They know everything. They are smarter than God is. And you can't help them. What shall I do? What an arrogant question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Can we do anything?
No.
And Jesus said to him, he said unto him, what is written in the law? Verse 26. How readest thou? And he answering, verse 27, answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You would think that if he was half as smart as he thought he was, he would have said, well, that counts me out. I can't be that good. Neither can you. Neither can I. Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Supposed to love the Lord thy God. We don't do that ever, any day, with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all day long.
Right.
It's not possible.
Right.
It's not possible. And you would think if he had any intelligence at all, he would have known that and would have said, Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
I need help. I can't do this.
Right.
So he asked another dumb question. Who's my neighbor? Look at verse 27. And he answering verse 28. And he said unto him, Jesus talking, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Verse 29. And he, willing to justify himself unto Jesus, said, and who is my, said, who is my neighbor? Watch the Bible. See what it says there. Willing to do what? Justify himself. We can't justify ourselves.
Right. Amen. That's good.
We need a higher power than that. Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Amen. But this lawyer didn't catch on to that. Then Jesus went into the verse 30. So here's the message. We have five men in this passage. Number one is the victim, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. We got the victim. It said a certain man, no name, just a certain man, not a high-level guy or anything like that, nobody overly important. Doesn't that remind you a little bit of you?
Amen.
I'm just a certain man. I am nothing. It reminds me as well that Satan, as that thief, wants to come around and wound me. So does he you. Satan has always been a thief. He wants to rob you of your joy. He cannot stand a marriage that we have. Right or wrong?
Right.
Can't stand that.
Right.
He can't stand it when somebody gets saved. He hates that. He can't stand it that you go to church. By the way, catch this. He will take some of you, if you're not careful, he'll remove you from Western Hills Baptist Church because he wants to steal. That's who he is. He wants to steal. There's some missing here today that were here last time we were here. He steals people. Am I right or wrong?
Right. Amen.
Satan had me in his grip, would not let us go. Wanted to kill me. He wants to kill you. He still wants to steal everything from you. Listen to me closely. All we have to do is watch the news. He wants to steal our purity.
Right.
He wants to steal my purity. All he has to do is get me thinking wrongly, badly.
Right.
He wants to steal my reputation.
Yep.
I'm honored beyond what you can comprehend to be able to teach here. But your pastor would not allow me to be here if I ruined my reputation. Am I right, preacher?
Right.
And neither should he. Neither should he. There's preachers all over the place preaching that shouldn't be preaching.
Amen.
We just seen of three of them falling in Dallas, Texas alone.
Amen.
In the last month. They shouldn't be teaching. He wants to steal my marriage. He wants to steal everything I stand for. Person number two that we got is the religious crowd, a priest. The Jewish law commanded, listen to me, in Exodus 23:5, the Jewish law commanded that a priest had to, was forced to help somebody who was in trouble, whether they were enemy or not. This Jewish priest walked right by. That reminds me of a lot of religious people today. They don't care a whole lot. But TV pastors will never come and comfort you in the hospital. Right or wrong?
Right.
They will never come and counsel you when you're struggling in your marriage.
Right.
But your pastor will.
Amen.
Better stay close here. Stop getting involved with the religious crowds. Stop listening to them mess you up or mess me up.
Amen.
The amount of women preachers on TV is enough to make me want to throw up.
Amen.
It's craziness. It's craziness. And the things they say. Beware of the religious crowd. Sometimes they are the thieves. Sometimes they are the thieves. They want money. They want power. They want people to bow down to them. They teach all kinds of heresy. This lawyer must have been upset that the priest who was commanded to help this victim by their law walked by on the other side. I'll get to this in a minute, but you know that we also are commanded to help one another.
Amen.
There's somebody at Western Hills Baptist Church that's hurting. It's your job to go help them.
Amen.
Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Amen. Number three, we've got the Levite. Also religious, a little more political. I think we both know from either one of our leaders in our countries, politics is not the answer. But God does have the answer. Number three, we have the Good Samaritan. Or number four, we've got the Good Samaritan. Jews didn't like Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like Jews. So this lawyer must have thought, well, this Samaritan guaranteed will walk by. But he was amazed at the fact that this Good Samaritan stopped. It says that he, let's look at it, What verse are we on here? 31. By chance there came down a certain, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he went, where he was. And when he saw him, he had, what's the word?
Compassion.
Who does that remind you of?
Jesus.
Jesus had compassion.
Amen.
Good Samaritan had compassion. Love in action. Compassion is love in action.
Right.
For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
Love in action. You know, to be honest with you, do you know that there's some people I don't particularly like? There's some people, whose phone is ringing? Somebody calling me? And there's some people that you maybe don't like, but you know you don't have that option.
Right.
You don't have that option.
That's good.
We were Huntington, West Virginia, a couple of weeks ago at a Jubilee. Talk about a lot of preaching. We heard 16 messages in 4 days.
Amen.
But
that's good.
Top-notch preaching. Anyway, never mind. We went to Macy's, and Joy wanted to buy something, so we went to pay. The guy taking the money was a transgender guy. A guy with a mustache dressed as a woman. Bit weird, bit strange. And I'll be honest, I don't like them.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit seemed to say, he also deserves to hear the gospel.
Amen.
So I gave him a gospel track. He sort of rolled his eyes And I said to him, or her, whatever it was, I said, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I said, one day you will stand before God and you will have to give an account for what you are, what you've done with Jesus. I said, this little card will tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. There's a prayer there. If you pray that, I will see you in heaven one day. Just because I didn't like him or his lifestyle does not give me the excuse to not tell him about Jesus. Am I right or wrong?
That's right. That's good.
So here we have 17 miles of windy road and caves, a great place for thieves. They're all always hanging out there looking for somebody. Isn't it strange that the priest and the Levite kept walking, but the Samaritan was willing to take the chance that the thieves wouldn't come back? He was not afraid. How often are we afraid to share the gospel?
Right.
How often are we afraid? I know that it applies to me all the time. How often am I afraid of sharing the gospel? Aren't you glad that in your life one day the Good Samaritan showed up?
Amen.
Jesus is our wonderful Samaritan, am I right? He wants to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus has compassion. The Samaritan did not leave the man. Follow this close. Did not say to the man, here's what, and I hate to say this, but this is what I do sometimes. A missionary comes to Victory Baptist Church, and I'll say to him, I'll pray for you, but I never do. I'll see somebody in our church, listen to me, that's hurting, possibly going through divorce, possibly going through some great physical issues and problems, and I say, I'll pray for you, but I don't. Who here can identify with that? Any honest people here? It's all of us. We say we'll pray, but we don't. This guy didn't say to the victim, I'll pray for you. He said, no, I'm going to do something about it. Isn't it time that we start doing something about it?
Amen.
He bound up his wounds. Says this man was stripped naked. Now, I don't know if this Good Samaritan carried extra clothes or not. If he didn't, he took his own clothes. If he did, he still took his own clothes. Clothes that he was planning on wearing the next day or whatever. He took his own clothes and bound them up. He had wine and oil with him. Listen to me. He had his own medicinal stuff with him. Enough for him to be gone for the couple of days, but he took his own wine and oil and poured it on this man who had been beat up. Took his own stuff. Aren't you glad that our Good Samaritan didn't leave us?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that he gives healing? Aren't you glad that he gives comfort? Aren't you glad that he answers prayer? Aren't you glad that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit? And by the way, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit if you decide to want that. If you decide to say, God, it's all you, none of me, you can have everything I am, everything I have. And the Holy Spirit has the power to take over your life. Most of us struggle with it. I know I do. He set him on his beast. Aren't you glad that the Good Samaritan didn't say, I'll take you into town, but you're going to have to walk. I'm going to ride the donkey. No. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, I'll save you, but you'll still have to go to Calvary?
Amen.
Jesus went to Calvary so we didn't have to. I want to focus here a little bit on the host. Which verse has the host in it? 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, the Samaritan departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. After salvation, listen to me closely, you and me become the host.
Amen.
We become the host. What kind of a host are you? People don't need a judge. They need a host. They need a friend. The host, listen to me, we'll get a bit more. The host serves the Samaritan. Samaritan told the host what to do.
Right.
The thieves, they wanted to take what this victim had. The priest said, everything I have is mine and I'm going to keep it. The Levite said, everything I have is mine. The Samaritan said, everything I have, you can have it. How do we gauge so far? How do we do? How are we doing? All the host had to do, listen to me, all the host had to do was obey. Do what he was told. The Good Samaritan gives instruction, verse 35. He says to take care of him. Isn't that what our Good Samaritan says? Take care of him. The Good Samaritan says, Don, take care of your wife.
Right.
The Good Samaritan says, take care of, if Caleb is hurting, Don, it's your job as the host to look after him. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes it is nothing more than saying this, you're a good friend, Caleb. I'm honored to be your friend. I'm honored to be Carlos' friend. We've known each other about 2 years now.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I'm honored to be his friend. I'm honored to be Brother Jackson's friend. I'm honored when I can hear him preach.
Amen.
Sometimes all we as hosts need to do is start being an encouragement. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I don't need to hear a whole lot of junk about what you've gone through this week. I've gone through enough junk myself. I don't need your junk on my junk. I don't need you. I don't need you talking to me badly about somebody here. I don't need that. I got enough problems. But it sure is good when somebody says, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're feeling better. Oh, maybe this would help if I said, I prayed for you this week, my friend.
Amen.
Does that encourage you?
Amen.
Listen to me. Don't go and say that unless you have.
Right.
Amen.
So why don't we start doing what a host is supposed to do? It says to take care of him.
Right.
Take care of him. Jesus went about doing good. And he, as a good Samaritan, says to us, I want you to go about doing good. Can I look in the mirror and say, Don, you did good this week? Or would I have to admit, man, I wasn't very good this week? most of us would have to say, I could have done a little better. Well, let me get more personal. Who here would be honest enough to say, I could have done better this week? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you another personal question. Who's going to say this morning, I will try to do better this week with the help of the Lord Jesus? Amen. Will you go about doing good? Will you help somebody this week? Will you encourage somebody this week? Will you tell somebody about Jesus this week?
Amen.
The priest, the Levite, they didn't see the need. The Samaritan does. Samaritan was an ordinary man, used his own supplies, didn't leave him, took him to an inn. Aren't you glad you got an inn?
Amen.
Western Hills Baptist Church. Is it a pretty good inn?
Amen.
It doesn't say anything about this inn in the Bible. I don't imagine it was perfect. I don't imagine the host was perfect. I don't imagine everything was spotless in this inn. But Western Hills is a pretty darn good inn. Listen to me. How about you go find a couple of victims that Satan has had his way with for years? Go find one this week. Go find one this week. I said, can I take you to an inn? Invite him to church. You can be, listen to me, you could be rest assured when they come to Western Hills Baptist Church, they will hear the good news.
Amen.
Amen.
You won't hear a lot of politics in this pulpit. You won't hear a lot of negative stuff in this pulpit.
Amen.
Except that there is a hell.
Right.
Amen.
But man, I got the good news. By the way, you can't have good news until you first get bad news. Whatever he needs, I'll pay for it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that when you got saved, Jesus didn't say, now the payments start. This is on the installment plan. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do something else, and then you'll make it. That's what religion is, by the way. Do this, do this, do this. I was witnessing to a Sikh guy the other day. I was in Winnipeg going to Staples, and I was driving my little yellow Corvette, not this one, but anyway, at home. And he said, wow, what a pretty car. And I said, thank you very much. So we chatted for a while. And I said, do you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to a temple. I said, you're Sikh? He said, yeah. And I said to him, I said, do you think that your religion will get you to heaven? And he says, yeah. He sort of hesitated. He said, well, I don't go very much. I said, can I invite you to come and visit our church, Victory Baptist Church? I gave him a card. And I said, if you come to our church, you will hear a definite plan of how to get to heaven.
Amen.
I said, on the back, there's three verses for you to read, three Bible verses, not Don's word, God's word.
Amen.
I said, there's a prayer. If you pray that prayer, God will save you, forgive your sin. We said that here at, what's your restaurant, your grocery, Fry's. Lynette was serving us. And I didn't have one of your gospel tracts, preacher. You know, bad on me, but anyway. And I gave her one of my cards. Has my name on it. I told her it's got my name on it. It's got my phone number on it. And I said, on the back, there's a plan of salvation. It tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. She said, really? Right. I said, yeah. And I said, there's a prayer that you can pray. And I said, if you pray that, I will see you in heaven one day. And she looked at me and she said, then you will see me there. I don't know if she prayed the prayer or not. But it's a whole lot closer than if I had just paid her the money and walked out. Mm. Right or wrong?
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
It's an amazing promise here. The Samaritan sent, verse 35, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The Samaritan said, I'm coming back. What did our good Samaritan say? What did he say? Talk to me.
He's coming back.
I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Oh, and he said it's all paid for. Amen. It's all paid for. I'm coming back. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Who here believes that?
Amen.
Listen to me. Please listen to me. Are we living as if he's coming today?
Amen.
Let me ask you this. If you knew he was coming the next 24 hours, who would you go and share the gospel with to make sure that they had the opportunity of going to heaven? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? We all have friends. We all have relatives that we know. I got my oldest granddaughter, Blair, married a guy who's not saved. They've got 5 children now, just had their 5th child. I asked my son-in-law one day, what is the chance of them making it to heaven? He said about 0. Brad is not saved. I witnessed to him a number of times. They hate the whole family. We're the only people that they communicate with at all. No church. They live as hermits. They have no phones. They have no nothing. You know what? I do want to see them in heaven one day.
Amen.
Amen.
I do want to see them in heaven one day.
Right.
We pray for them frequently. Whenever they come over, we try to share the gospel with them. That he's very, very close. He told me one day, I was talking to him, he said, you know, you're the first person that I've ever known that actually knows how to love somebody. He said, I do not know what love is, and I don't know how to respond to love. He said, I grew up my whole life, my parents hated me, my dad whipped me every single day of his life. He said, all I know is hate, all I know is hate. And I don't know how to respond to love. Wonder how many people you or me will walk into this week, walk across this week and run into this week that don't know anything about love. They hardly know human love, but bless God, they sure don't know the Jesus love.
Right.
The Jesus love. Will you share it with somebody this week?
Amen.
Will you? Will you? God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to teach.
Amen.